Hey friend, I'm Mike McCurry. Welcome to the final installment of this week of broadcasts for Bible Tract Echoes. I observed a couple of days ago that this program has been going out over the airwaves, both terrestrial and now online, on YouTube, podcasts, all those sorts of things, for over 65 years. Can you wrap your mind around that? All the way back to 1958. The first time that our founder, Dr. Paul Levine, has sat in front of a microphone, probably not quite like the one I'm sitting in front of right now. I don't think they had the Shure SM7B back then, but regardless, Dr. Paul Levine, he sat in front of a microphone and for the first time, his voice, he was such a charismatic individual. He had such a personality, such a verve, an effervescence about him I'll never match. There's big shoes to fill here at BTI, and Paul Levine's shoes will always be unfilled. But now we have the opportunity to carry his legacy on into the future, and what a blessing it is. But one of the biggest burdens, one of the most pressing things on Dr. Paul's heart and life was the cause of the gospel, was the Great Commission, was seeing people come to know Christ. They did by the thousands, maybe tens of thousands during his earthly ministry. You realize Dr. Paul, he preached the gospel faithfully in full-time evangelism for over 60 years. It was important to him. His desire through this radio program was, of course, to equip the saints, to let Christians know about how they could get our gospel tracts and use our gospel tracts. But at the same time, evangelizing the sinner, evangelizing the lost, that was also part of this desire, our desire. You know, Bible tracts, the reason we exist is to see people come to know Christ, the word of God to all the world. You don't scatter the seed in the hopes of not getting a harvest. No, you specifically desire a harvest. That's why you do the work in the first place. And so I ask you, if you died today, where would you go? You know, someone asked me that question some years ago. I was a little boy. I'd heard the question before in church. It was a Wednesday night at a church in Monterey Bay, California, a Wednesday evening service. And the pastor was preaching. I have no idea what he preached about, but apparently he mentioned the need for salvation. That evening, I came forward. My junior church leader dealt with me. My mom, if I recall, was in the nursery. And I bowed my head, just a little boy. Hadn't sinned a whole lot, necessarily as far as like a catalog of sins. My catalog was kind of anemic. I didn't have some stunning testimony of coming out of a life of drugs and crime, no. But I was a sinner, and I knew I was on my way to hell. That evening, I bowed my head, and I asked Christ to save me, the sinner I was. Friend, how about you? You know, not that long ago, a man named Mark contacted our ministry from over in New Zealand. And one of our good staff members, Cameron, had the opportunity to communicate with him and tell him how he could know by, they were essentially texting back and forth. And Mark was telling him his background, and Cameron was sharing the gospel and telling him how he could know for sure where he was going, gave him the full gospel. Things like that, oh, they refresh me. And they give renewed purpose to what we are and who we are, why we exist. I think of at my home church, not but a few Sundays ago, a young man, maybe 10 years old. Mom, been coming for some time to our church, and her three beautiful kids. And this young man, he accepted Christ. And just a few Sundays ago, he followed the Lord in believer's baptism, knowing that baptism has nothing to do with salvation, but it's just the first step of obedience after salvation. And to signify, to testify, I got saved, that young man got baptized. It's a blessing to see new life, isn't it? I think of our standby gospel track, the new birth, the very first one that, to my knowledge, that Paul Levine, our founder, ever wrote. What does it talk about? It talks about, yes, the new birth. It talks about a new birth, not of water, but of the Holy Ghost, of God Almighty. I'd ask you, friend, do you know that you know where you'd go? I've often found when I give an invitation, a time at the conclusion of a message, when I mention a need for salvation, I'll ask a question like this. I'll say, if you know for a fact that if you were to die today, you know that you would go to heaven. I'd ask you if you would, if you know that, if you can't be honest in the house of God, where can you be? If you can't be honest right now, I'm not sure if there is a place on earth you can be honest other than church. And so if you know for sure where you're going, I'd ask you, would you just raise your hand? I'm not looking to embarrass anyone, but the Bible says that if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you know Christ, would you just raise your hand? And of course, there will be many often. In a church, man, you'd think there might be a few folks that are saved there. And so folks raise their hand, but almost without fail, in any congregation, there may be one or two, maybe more, that won't raise their hand. And so I'll ask the inverse, the opposite of that question. God forbid something were to happen to you. Do you not know? Are you not 100% sure? If you were to die today, do you know you wouldn't go to heaven? If that's you, I'll say something like this. I won't make you stand up. I won't make you stand out. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out, call you down. I just want to pray for you. Would you mind just raising your hand so I can pray for you? I found oftentimes it helps if I ask the question twice. Not because I'm trying to draw decisions out of people, but I was in Australia not too long ago. Young man named Axel. Young man by his own testimony. We knew he wasn't saved. There was no getting around that. He knew it. That last service on a Thursday evening, I said, if you know for sure you're going to heaven, and people raised their hands. Axel didn't. So I asked the other question. If you're here and you don't know, where would you go? If you don't know that, would you raise your hand? And Axel didn't move. He stayed just as still as on that first question. I said, I found just the same thing I said to you. I found that sometimes I need to ask twice. And so I did. If you don't know, would you please raise your hand? And then I just waited. It's almost like playing touch football in the backyard. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi. Normally five Mississippi is all you give, but I think I went just a little beyond five Mississippi. I was at least on seven or eight Mississippi in silence. Everyone's heads were bowed. I was the only one looking around. And Axel's hand went up. I don't know if it was 8, 9, 10, or 13 Mississippi, but his hand went up. He acknowledged for the first time, I know I'm lost. Axel had the opportunity, and he took the opportunity. He got saved that night. What a blessing. He was at a church not too long ago, down in Decatur, Illinois. Pastor Dave Brown, what lovely people down there. Wonderful. He's been pastoring, get this, for 47 years, and he is so, he's sharp as a tack. I'm not sure how old, I didn't ask how old Brother Brown is, but he's been pastoring for 47 years in the same place. He's not 48 years old, I can tell you that much. So sharp, sharp as a tack. Beautiful folks, lovely to preach to, just funny folks, wonderful. Had the opportunity on Sunday morning to ask that question, preached, and they soaked it up. And a young lady raised her hand after I asked the second time. Friend, you've already heard me ask it maybe a dozen times today. Let me ask you one more time. If you're listening right now and you don't know for sure, you're not completely, I'm not asking if you're 98% certain. I'm asking if you're anything less than 100. Don't be almost sure. Don't be almost persuaded. I'd ask you, if you don't know, here's the action I'd ask you to do. Not to raise your hand. Maybe you could. I won't be able to see it, though. I'd ask for you to reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to take a Bible or one of our wonderful staff members, like Cameron did with Mark over in New Zealand not long ago. They can take a Bible and show you. I'd love to talk to you by phone call, by text, by email. Whatever is most convenient for you, but I certainly don't want you to step into eternity not knowing. You could text me today. If you don't know for sure, would you consider this? I want you to grab your phone right now. Dude, just go and grab your phone. If you don't know, text me at 309-316-7240. I'm going to turn, or I'm at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, a verse I want to share with you before I let you go. Text me at 309-316-7240. I'll give you that number one more time, all right? Not just twice, even three times, all right? Revelation 3 verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Friend, the invitation is open today. The God of this blessed book wants to meet with you. It's not Micah McCurry from Bible Tracks Incorporated knocking on the door of your heart, friend. That's God. And if he's doing a work right now in you, it's a work that no man can imitate. If you know for a fact that if you died today, you would not go to heaven, please, friend, this is literally my life's work. This is why I exist. It's not to be chummy with radio listeners, though I enjoy that. It's not all these other things. Those are great. They're accessories, though. I am called as a Christian to reach people just like you. If you don't know where you would go, I don't care if it's morning, noon, or night, wherever you may be listening in America or around the world, I want you to reach out to me. You can email me, Micah@BibleTracksInc.org. You can call our ministry, 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. But I'd love it if you just texted me. I'll give you this number one last time, all right? 309-316-7240. I remember the joy and the weight that fell off of a little boy's shoulders named Micah McCurry in Monterey Bay, California, when I accepted Christ as my Savior. You could do that today. Acknowledge you're a sinner. You know it. I know it. We all know it. Acknowledge that you're on your way to hell. Acknowledge that you need Christ and you want him to save you. Reach out today. Thank you so much for listening. Join us next week on Bible Tract Echoes. I greatly appreciate every Christian and every person that's not yet a Christian, because I believe you're going to make the right choice. Reach out. Have a great day for his glory. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracks Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracks, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracks Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve him.